Right. Hello, everyone. Today I have a pretty cool guest. Maya, introduce yourself.
Hey, so my name is Maya. I'm a 3D artist in France, and I'm working on, actually, The Bazaar, a hero builder game that maybe you heard of. It's quite cool. I'm specialized in video game, obviously, and style, and paint slash mouse paint. I'm doing a lot of cartoony and stylized thing, and mostly environments and funny one, because we are here to have fun. So
So like, what would you say what people do not understand about your job? Everything.
That's, I do have a job, and I am not just playing Expedition 33 all day long.
Yeah.
My grandma thinks that I'm playing because I'm working in Maya and you move the things, and she has like, wow, it doesn't look funny, your game. I'm like, because it's a job. I work. people doesn't understand what is 3D, even though they live in a 3D world.
True.
They don't understand what is it. Like, I have to explain the different axes, and I have to take objects and to rotate them in front of them, and they are like, oh, this is 3D.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. It's like primary school level. I can understand the fact that you don't know how to produce it, how to create it. But
are you sure it's not a compliment though? Like, they're saying, I thought this was a 2D painting. Like, it looked so stylized. I couldn't see this as a 3D thing.
Sometimes when it comes from a video game artist, I understand that they know what is 3D, but most of the time I can like show the primitive cube and they're like, oh, you did this. I'm like, no. that's on the software. I didn't did it. But yeah, they don't understand this, and they don't understand how can I be paid by doing video games. And I was in the same place than them at the beginning of my career and my studies, because I joined a video school. Yeah, a video game school. Mm-hmm. But even by joining, I had no idea it was a job to create video games. I was just like, poof, magic, and it's there. And I had no idea some humans were behind all of this. And yeah, it was mind-blowing when I understood the different steps of the process and who did what. So yeah, but I guess people just don't understand every time there is some technology involved, like the engineer. Who knows what they are doing? Mm. So I think we are kind of the same, but artistic version.
Yeah, I think video games is a weird mix between basically engineers, like the mindset of engineers and the mindset of artists. So we're like kind of both, especially like people who are in a smaller team, you would see them doing tasks on both sides sometimes. Mm. So before we go into details on that part, what would you say people who are willing to start in stylization and 3D environment do not understand about the job?
About students or about random people?
Now it's like people who probably did a little bit of painting, you know, did a little bit of that and a little bit of this, and they see like, oh, 3D environment artists, I would really love to be one. And like, what is, in your opinion, a misconception there?
Yeah. Oh, big misconception is when you start, you always start to reproduce something. And for me, the biggest error someone can do is taking something already stylized as an example and doing it again. Because when you reproduce something, you reproduce the flows and you reproduce the vision of someone else. Mm. So you don't really learn how to stylize by yourself, and you learn after someone. So I think my way to do was to take real life picture and to try to stylize them in my head. And then my hand follow the hand. And yeah, just taking real life reference to learn, because you are supposed to learn at the beginning. Mm-hmm. You are supposed to fail and to experiment. Mm-hmm. So just reproducing something that an amazing artist did is just copy, paste, and printer work, which can be nice if you want to be a printer. It's no shame. It's very good. That's my job, actually. Mm-hmm. But when you learn the basics, you really have to go outside and to learn from real thing, to to learn the physics of the things, even in stylization. Even if you want to break a reality, you have to learn how it works. So you can have a lot of fun. And yeah, my biggest tips would just be to have an interest in everything not related to video game art. So you will have your way of stylization.
That's interesting because like the first thing people learn when it comes to stylization is basically copying another artist's work.
Yeah.
And the problem with that, I feel like, here's the thing, if you come from an illustration or illustrator background, the first thing you do is you learn reality. You try your best to copy reality. And stylization is basically, if you understand what stylization is, it's not Riot style. Riot style is one part of many other stylizations.
Exactly.
Picasso is also stylization, right? So there's many forms of stylization. And I think what people do not understand or do not see is the proper way to learn it. Like the artists of the, you know, back in the day, that when they started to do impressionist work, they first, if you go through their work, like their early sketches, they were able to copy reality one to one.
Exactly.
And then once they have learned the forms and the shapes, they were able to simplify that. So instead of like drawing super hyper realistic eyes and hyper realistic faces, they are now saying, you know what, the face looks like a bean. I'm just gonna draw a bean, right? First.
And exactly.
So they were able to make like a cartoon out of it almost. Like even in cartoons, you see the four fingers, right? And we accept it. Why do we accept that? Why do we accept four fingers? Well, it was easier for them to animate four fingers instead of five fingers, right? And so, but in the beginning, they had to study the five fingers. They must have, because otherwise, how would they understand four fingers? We do not have four fingers, okay?
Yeah.
And the same thing with stylization, and especially with environment art as well. If you cannot, in my opinion, and we could argue about that, but like if you cannot copy reality within your work to a certain degree, you're probably not going to understand how that artist you're trying to study their style reached to the stylization. You know what I mean? Like when they draw the shades in a certain way, if it's soft shading or cell shading, whatever it is, right? They have came to a conclusion because they were able to see real references.
Exactly.
So I want your thoughts on that.
I do agree. You are, I'm half on the point. If you can't copy reality, it's okay, because it's not the funniest thing to do, in my opinion. But you have to start on it to understand how things work. So even if you are not good at reproducing it, like perfectly perfect, at least if you understand how things work and why they work in this way, this is the biggest thing that you can do to improve your stylization, because in my opinion, I'm quite bad at realistic art. I don't like it, and it doesn't like me neither. So it's reciprocal. But yeah, just understanding why the light is like this, why do I have to put a little bit of yellow in my directional light will make my scene look more cozy. I think you just have to analyze and think why in this random example, why in this specific movie the feeling is so gloomy, or why my wood is looking so magical and everything. It's just things that you can look at and you can try to replicate them, but just understanding and asking yourself questions will be the best thing you can do for yourself.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I think you nailed it there by just saying like study and analyze and get your art fundamentals first before you start copying other artists. I mean that copying the other artists is not like the worst thing you can do. It's still better to have the ability to analyze what they do instead of just copying one to one. It's like literally, if you want to be an author and all what you do is like have a really good book in front of you and you're literally just, you know, copying every word there, you're probably not going to learn how that artist came to that conclusion if you have not studied like the fundamentals of writing, right? Of feeling, of like how to describe a scene in a sad way, or how which words to use to describe a scene in a happy way, or how to describe a scene to get the reader to be like excited about the book or whatever it is. Like, there's different ways to do things.
Yeah, and you have to, for example, read them to feel it, understand, oh, I feel it that way, so now I think I can reproduce this feeling. And it's exactly the same for art. Like, the nature outside is the most beautiful thing we get to see, because everything is so well thought by Mother Nature. So when you see a beautiful landscape, for example, with a beautiful tree, you're like, oh, wow, this creates a feeling so strong in myself. How can I reproduce it? And how can I give, I don't know, this feeling of joy to other people with my art? And yeah, I think the main thing is just always work your fundamentals and always look for other references at video game, because I'm getting sick of seeing a Ghibli scene every time. Ghibli or Ghibli, Ghibli, I don't know.
Ghibli, yeah.
Ghibli, thank you. Ghibli scene, because I think someone started to do it in their way, and then a lot of people started to reproduce this specific scene without even looking at the real Ghibli reference. And now, if you go on ArtStation and you type Ghibli scene, you can see not the downgrade, because it's a reinterpretation every time, but you can see how the style is changing, but the categorization is the same, like Ghibli stylized scene, a little hill with a little house on top of it.
Yeah.
So it's always the same. And this is creating a boring moment in the industry, because all the 3D art is looking the same. And please, guy, if you want to do Ghibli scene, look at Ghibli movie, not Ghibli reference. That is something everyone does, and that's okay. It's not the end of the world. But yeah, looking outside, looking at classical painter, it's amazing. I know that Romain Durand, an amazing French artist, an amazing French artist, he takes a lot of inspiration from Orientalism. So it's not in the value, it's not the best art, but the painting is amazing, and it looks very similar to what we can achieve now with Unpaint and everything. And yeah, this is a way the industry can diversify in art, because right now we are stuck between Ghibli diorama, arcane fan art, and Spider-Verse wannabe. I do this, I try to do a Spider-Verse environment, so no one can come at me. But yeah, it just go outside and you will do the difference by just showing us how you see the world with your eyes.
And the problem is, like, with Ghibli, for example, the best people who made Ghibli style are Ghibli.
Like, yeah.
You cannot argue against that. And I guess the best person who made the 3D scene from Ghibli is the one who actually went in and checked and understood the art fundamentals and were able to replicate that. But the problem after that, everybody that... It depends on where did you spark your interest, or what inspired you? So, and what did you do after that? So I'm sure Ghibli was inspired by someone, by something, by painting at one point, right? If they have decided to just copy that, I don't think we would know Ghibli as much. But if obviously what they did is that they went through the fundamentals, they understood how to reach that bar of stylization. It's like a, it's a craft. It's not just the idea of Ghibli environment, which what we see right now on ArtStation is like, it's almost becoming the idea of Ghibli, not the actual stylization.
It's because they are putting some watercolor noises on a base color with a blend mode, and they're like, done, it's a day. And it can be a style, honestly, it works really nice, but don't call it a Ghibli just to be on the tendons, on the trend. But yeah, it just makes me sad, because we have so much amazing artists, and every artist has their own way to see the world. And for example, me as a lead, and sometimes I do recruitment, I want to see what is going on the head of the artist, and not what is going on the tutorial that the artist did, because we know when it's a tutorial, we can see it, we know them. So yeah,
Also,
Just
like
personality.
about tutorials, like most of tutorials that I find online are basically not teaching the essence of this of the craft, not teaching the essence of what you need to learn. They're offering, and this is not a disrespect, I just don't think there's a lot of innovation in the courses right now, and I believe in innovation in online learning. So what we see is basically, hey, follow me, do this and do that and do this and do that and do this, and you will become an artist. The problem is right now mainly because of the internet and because of SEOs and because of like search terms. You would go on Google and be like, environment art course. The first result might be like, learn environment art from beginner to professional, giving you that false hope of you will get everything in that course, and you will be like, oh, perfect, I just made myself a career. Right, you would copy everything in that course. You would have the sense because you've been convinced that this is gonna take you to a professional, level. And you make a portfolio, and you know what? You might get hired too. But
Surprise.
the problem is you have not learned the craft. So when the art director comes to you and be like, hey, I want this style. You see this? You see how I painted this? I want it exactly like that. And you're like, they didn't teach me that in the course. And then what, right? Like, we have an industry that is literally built on people who had to learn on the job, like games 20 years ago. You literally just hang out with some game devs and you fart, and then you're like, you got a job. That's how easy it was back in the day. Hey, you want to test the game? Oh, actually, you have a job. And then in the job, you're learning the new technology. You're learning, like, you probably work in your underwear in a cellar somewhere with your friends, and you're learning new skills. I'm a tech artist now. Oh, it's a role? Totally cool. Yeah. How did you learn it? Did you go to school? No. How? Well, I just fucked around and I found out. So we have an industry that is established like that, but then we have a system that expects from juniors to have 3 years of experience without a
Before
job.
starting.
So what is the response? Like, I feel like almost that the industry must be responsible about bringing new blood in the industry. But what they're doing is they're squeezing the shit out of their blood, right? Like, we have people who think they are beginners, and they would literally, like, with their full mind, they would go on art session and be like, hey, I'm a junior artist. And like, bro, your fucking work is professional. What, why are you trying to drill this in my head that this is how a junior should be? Like,
It's crazy. We are in the States, actually. And I had a friend, I still have it, by the way. I have a friend that had the opposite of the story, and it's so good for him. He was just, I think he was a mod on Skyrim, and he was creating some mod. And for this, he had to touch 2-3D a lot. And he was sharing his work on ArtStation. And one day, a studio came and was like, hey, do you want a job as a senior? First job in the industry. And the guy is still a senior, and he was a lead 3 months ago on an amazing game. So we still have hope, but it's like just one story among a billion. So he was lucky, but yeah, I think it's why when students ask me some advice about how to find a work, a job, I just tell them don't write the junior title in your profile because people doesn't know if you are a junior or a mid or a senior. Let them have the opinion that they want to have following the quality of your work, and you can be surprised, honestly. Like, don't put title. I know recruiter won't be happy, but I don't care.
I navigated my whole career like that. Like, I was even afraid of learning new skills because I didn't want it to affect my title. So I always went with a generalist artist. It's like, what do you want from me? And they're like, well, we're doing a motion comic. And I'm like, all right, let's do a motion comic. What do you want for, like, what is the job? And they're like, the job is this. I'm like, okay, let's do an art test. Latest job I've got is in real-time VFX, which seems to be like the perfect fit for where I'm, my brain is. And it was the same thing, like, hey, we're looking for a visual effects artist. Okay, let's do an art test. Cool, do this. Did that. Cool, you got in. Got in. So, like, again, and the emphasis on, like, don't, if you're insecure about something, You don't need to hide show it. You don't need hide to it. Hide yeah. it, right? And don't hide it in a sketchy way or in an ethical way. So here's an example. You sell tomatoes, right? And your neighbor is also selling tomatoes. One of the tomato went on the floor. Not a big deal. It got a bit dirty. Yeah. You washed it and you put it back, right? There's a customer that comes by that wants to buy tomato. He picks the same tomato you washed. Are you going to tell them that this fell on the floor and you clean it? They're probably not going to buy it, right? So sometimes just like if you, for example, are insecure about your age, right? You're 35, 45, right? And you're like, oh, I'm not sure, you know. It's just in your head. If your work is good enough, you will have a scenario that is, like you said, which is luck sometimes. Like, hey, you wanna work for us? And you're like, cool, yeah, sure, let's do it. But you're not gonna tell them, but I'm 44, man. Mm-hmm. Like, are you sure? Like don't mention that. Don't mention that you've never been hired before. It's on your resume anyway.
Honestly, lie. Because you have to take your previous experience and turn them in a way that is good for you. And as long as you are ready to dedicate yourself so much to the project that if you are lacking a skill, you can learn it, then there is no issue by lying a bit on an interview. And of course, it's nice if you can be fully honest, but we are in a situation where we need... It's like dating. Yep. For me, finding a job is Tinder. I hate Tinder. But you have to, not be fully yourself sometimes. And if you are super shy, you have to put a smile on your face and just lock the muscles. Don't lose the smile. You have to speak. You have to, when someone asks you, do you play this kind of game because it's related to my genre of game? You say yes. And you just try to give the name of the one you can remember. But yeah, there is so much way to lie without impacting your interview, for example.
Yeah, you have to. It's a fine line, and that's what I wanted to tell you. Like, yeah, lie, but within reason. Like, for me, if hiding something that's not gonna affect the quality of my work is beneficial for me getting a job, I'm gonna hide it. I'm just not gonna say the truth. I'm not gonna. It is what it is. I will just say, like, if someone asks me, have you ever, done character art for something that is related to my job as a VFX artist? I will just say, I worked a little bit with Maya with like topology and I understand topology, which is true. And I've done a character. But like if I have never done a character before, I'll be like, I've topologized, I was always interested. Instead of just saying no, just say I was always interested and I find what they do is amazing and I would love to have a conversation with your character artist. You see, you're still putting yourself in the door, but you're not saying the outmost,
never
interested.
Never use no in an interview.
Use no, but when it's meaningful to use no. Like when you know what they're telling you is, for example, like you know your job best. So a stylized environment art. You know how much a piece takes a week. If they come in the interview and they tell you, we want an asset a day, what are you gonna say?
Yeah. Obviously no.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, obviously no. Obviously preserve your mental health. Yeah.
Yeah. Always say no when you know best. And, if it's something where you haven't done it yet, but they obviously want you to be interested in, just say, I always found it interesting. Because if you say no, there was another person before you who said, oh, that's quite interesting. I would really love to know more about it.
Yeah, so exactly.
Now you're fighting against the person who found it interesting. You never want to I think it's about burning bridges. You never want to burn a bridge. Yeah, or close the door completely.
Yeah, totally agree. But yeah, interview, you always have to find a way to hide when you really want a job, obviously, and when you don't spot any red flag, because you guys are allowed to say no to an interview if there is red flag. It's something I didn't know when I was a young, a young artist.
Yep.
I'm still, but but because of this, my mental health took a lot of. I lost a lot of, health points.
What would you say you learned? Like, what are the lessons learned from before? Like, you would give to someone who's just like having their interview tomorrow. What would you say to them?
Follow your intuition first of all. If you feel something is sketchy, you have a very bad vibe with the interviewer. Trust in yourself because your gut now. And if something, if the company is good, you shouldn't have any red flag popping in your mind. And also try to educate yourself about legal thing, contract, legal vocabulary. Even more if you are doing an interview in a language you don't know perfectly, not your mother tongue, because this will allow you to not fall in some traps, you know, not doing the difference between contract, freelance, employee and everything, not knowing before taxes and after taxes. Because I know in French, it's two different words and people, they tend to confuse them. And because of this, they end up less paid. So it's really it's really something you have to take care of. And if you can do researches about the company, it will always profit to you because you will be able to ask questions to the recruiter. And you will be able to know if the value are good for you. And maybe you will be able to learn a bit about how they treat employees and how they see the game and the player. And last tips, go on Glassdoor and you should be able to see some comments and review of your company.
Yeah.
And you can also be able on this website to see the salary, how much people are paid, and so you can know how much you can expect, how much you can negotiate. And thanks to Glassdoor, I was able to avoid a lot of very weird dark studio. So just researches always.
Always research where you're applying or who want to have an interview with you, and also confront them about the stuff. Even if you decided to go with it, be like, hey, I looked on Glassdoor. I've seen people doing this and that. And here their side of story.
Yeah.
If you can get the other side of the story, amazing. Because then you have... Because you know, with every truth, there's my side of the story, your side of the story, and the truth lays somewhere in the middle. You have to make your own mind about it. Here's the thing. Also, another advice to people who... And this is, of course, we're assuming you got that far. And, you know, your portfolio is amazing and everything.
Yeah.
If it's your first job, if it's your first interview, please, please, please don't sign anything you're not sure of. Do not sign a contract you did not read. No, even if they tell you, if you do not sign this today, we will not offer it again. That's a red flag on its own. If they're confident in what they're offering, they would tell you, you know, sleep on it, think about it. You can say, I'll read it, review it with my lawyer, and I will come back to you. Because every contract is negotiable. This is such a bullshit that people go through because they're desperate to get a job in the industry that they just don't read it. Just like that EULA, right? In every game where right now it got so far that we don't even own the game that we fucking buy. And we have things like, you know, stop killing games, right? Stop
killing
games is telling us, hey, yo, we should put the brakes on this. We should be able to own our game. I should be able to, when if I bought a Driver San Francisco, I should still be able to play that game. I can't even download it. I can't even get it anywhere. And I bought it, right? I love that game, but it's gone. So one of those things, like every contract is negotiable. Nothing is non-negotiable. And do not negotiate so fast. Like if they tell you, we're going to pay you this. You have to be able to say, well, I will at least like to be paid that. That's just, you're making a deal here. Nothing is set in stone. If they make you feel like it's set in stone, another red flag. Everybody does this. Like every senior level artist does that. Like why are you not doing that? Well, maybe because I'm a junior. Well, if they want someone on site and they live, I don't know, in some country where there's not so many in the country and not so many junior environment artists, you still have leverage. You still do good work.
Yeah, and sometimes junior are so amazing. I know a lot of junior that were better than my senior colleagues because, you know, when you are junior, you're out of your education.
Yep.
You just got out. So you know how to learn and you know what are the latest trends, the latest software version and everything. But some seniors tend to, to stay on the version they used to work on. And they don't read magazines, or they don't read articles about, oh, wow, new technology on Substance Painter, new way to do curves on Maya with the sweep tool, for example.
Yeah.
And you can do a big difference. It's just you are considered junior just because you don't have the experience of a senior, but it doesn't mean that you are not as good. Like there are some exceptions every time. And yeah, I don't know. Junior are so amazing. Honestly, I really like helping them because they're always so useful and joyful.
Joyful.
And yeah, joyful more than useful because we don't care about your age, as Jack said. So yeah, I don't know.
With working with someone, soft skills beat hard skills sometimes.
Yeah.
Are you a fun person to work with? If you are, then cool. I want to work with you too.
Exactly.
If you're not a cool person to work with and you're just like ignorant and arrogant.
Louder.
Right? But like, you're really good at what you do, but you can't work in a team. You're useless.
Right? Yes.
And you put everybody down in a team, even if you're the god of environment art. No one will want to work with you. If you're an asshole and you're telling everybody how bad they are, like some people get like a power high out of just like telling other juniors like, ha, 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 I can do it better than you, faster than you. Like, okay, cool. I guess.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. It's just like, so again, for juniors who are just starting, I just want to tell everybody, don't be desperate. Anything that helps you not be desperate, that will help you eventually not be taken advantage of. I'm saying that out of experience. I have gotten advantage of as a junior, as someone who really just wanted to work with games. Cool. I wish I've had a side job, honestly, like in the beginning. Just a side, not a full-time job, not something, not a study, not a full-time commitment, just something on the weekend. Get your money that you need to pay the rent with, or half of it, or 40% of it, you're less desperate. The less desperate you are, the better your experience is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, channel all this desperation into learning new skills. Seriously. Do not channel this energy into your job interview. You need to check that out of the door.
Yeah, I totally agree with everything you said. And I have a proof about being chill and a good person is better than having the best skill of the world. Yeah. That's how I got my job, actually, because I was against maybe one of the best hand paint artists for my actual position as a lead.
Cool.
And when I was recruited, I had maybe 2 years out of my school of experience. And I was against someone with 15 years of experience.
Wow.
And I'm nowhere near to his level, honestly, I will be honest. Mm. And he's amazing, but the vibe was a bit off with this person, maybe. I think he's very great, but I don't know how it went during the interview. But it seems that my vibe was matching way more the company and the way I was leading, maybe my previous company. It's something that really pleased my interviewer. Yep. So yeah, just be chill and be a nice person and take care of your ego to not make him grow too much, but to not make him make it lower. Take care of your ego, be humble, and just be kind. That's very a Disney-like lesson, but be kind and happy to be here during the interview because a first impression is so important, and it really does matter.
Some people think, or they mix the value of being a leader as an arrogant person or a boss person. A leader is not a boss, people. Like, seriously, a boss is the person who sits on the top of the thing that you need to transport, and he orders you or she orders you to keep going forward and that you're not good enough. That's a boss.
Yeah.
A leader is someone who is going in with you. Like, you're a lead environment artist. I'm an environment artist on your team. You are there to help everybody on the team know the direction of where they're going and be able to communicate with the other departments. That's why you're the lead.
Yeah.
Does not mean you're better than them. No.
Exactly. It means... Thank you for saying this. Exactly.
Exactly. Like, it does not mean you're better than them. It means maybe with the communication, you are better than them. That is it all, though. Oh, what you're doing is you're taking the responsibility. You're saying, you know what? We need communication on this team. We need to communicate with the tech department. We need to communicate with the production. We need someone who has the overview about everything. Oh, the whole team of the environment artists like me. All right. So I'm. You know what? I'll take that responsibility.
Yeah.
It's a huge responsibility. Leaders must be able to be held accountable.
And you're saying
I will do the job, and if it fails, it's on me. So you're taking the risk, right? Doesn't mean you're a better environment artist than the than the person who is
really not
beneath you in the hierarchy, maybe. No. That's not what a lead does. A lead is someone who is able to motivate everybody, keeps the project going, and be able to communicate with everyone in within the team and the other department.
Yeah.
So I want you to talk about that because you're an actual lead and I'm not.
Yeah, but there is a metaphor that I really like about leadership is imagine all the team is under a big, big storm and the lead should be the umbrella that hides them from the rain. And the rain is the stress, obviously, and all the responsibilities. And even in a MMORPG, the lead will be the tank, the you know, the guy taking all the damages. That's why I'm losing a lot of health points every day. But yeah, we are not here to be the best because we are not spending as much time as production as we used to do. And now, for example, I'm spending, I think, 10 hours a week in meetings, so I cannot produce. So it would be stupid to put me, if I was the best of all time, to put me as a lead, because it would be a waste of my skill, which is not right now, because I'm really good at communicating. And for example, I know the project by heart because I've been working on it for 1.5 years, and I was the first lead artist on it. But yeah, I'm here to support my team, to help them grow, obviously, because fun fact, you still learn when you have a job and you still grow in this job, and I'm here to help with this. And yeah, you shouldn't be, as you said, a boss, but a leadership. You have to hold them by the hand and like, hey, everything will be fine. I'm here. And if something is not fine, it's okay. I maybe won't tell them depending on the context, because I shouldn't be, you know, the ball of stress, displaying my emotion in front of them. So you have to be very human resilient when you are in leadership. Exactly. Also resilient. And you have to trust them and be able to delegate. And
mediate sometimes. Because there will be issues between, like, we're all people. There will be issues within the team. There will be issues with the leadership. There will be issues with the direction. There will be miscommunications. Which are very dangerous within a production. Not like dangerous that you will lose an arm, but dangerous within you're gonna lose a week of production. Just because, you know, someone said, you know what, make it more blue, right? And you think blue is cold, and then you just put snow on the environment. And it's just miscommunication. And who's gonna take accountability of that? The leadership.
Me.
So the leadership has to take care of that. But here's the thing. Can a junior be a leader? In my opinion, not really, in my opinion. Because you need to be able to know almost all the pipeline. You must you must really know a lot about it.
You can learn it.
I wanted to for you to expand on why do you think a junior can be a leader? Go ahead.
Yeah. So first of all, my first job in the industry was leadership. So it was very early to give me this kind of job, but I took it because, you know, when you are young, you are afraid of nothing. And I was. No, I'm more. but junior, you are very flexible and you can be modeled as the company wants. So when you enter a first company, that's where you will learn the reflexes. That's where you will learn your first habits and everything. So for me, it can be, honestly, it really depends on the profile of the person. We don't care about the age. We don't care about the background or everything. Just the personality of the person, of the junior. We have junior that, for example, they did maybe management before, but they decided to turn, to change work, change job, change life. So yeah, I just think leadership, it's something that you can learn on your side, but it's always, it's a skill, and it's a hard skill made of soft skill. So someone can be made for leadership, you know, natural leader, as we say. But it's obviously, even for leadership, we have onboarding, you know. So we still have a lot of documents to read. So that's why I don't see why it will be an issue to have a junior, because as long as there is documentation, that should be fine. But obviously there is, there are exceptions every time.
I think you kind of like need also the good mix, the team that you're working with. Like even if you're a junior and you got into a lead, which is not a, like a it's not the easiest thing to do. Let's just keep it like that. I don't believe it. It is doable. Like you, I think you, a lot of things need to align, right? Like in your case, you were able to say, you know what, I'll take responsibility. The second thing is you got the company who had, you know, basically supported you, and the documentation. So you were able to expand on that. So, but if there is none of that, it might even more difficult, right? So yeah, I do think experience would add to the to the leadership, or to like the lead of a team. But the main point here, you don't have to be a senior for you. It doesn't. It's not a. It's really not a raise. It's maybe raise raising money because you're taking more responsibility. Meaning, if the whole game fails because of the art, you're the person responsible.
Yeah,
that's a huge responsibility.
Yeah, but wait, I forgot what I wanted to say.
Oh, no worries.
I'm losing memory since I'm a lead. I have too much document. But yeah.
Yeah. So, how much of the of environment art would you say is technical?
Do you want me to give a number about how much percent there is art?
Not a number, but like, I think a lot of maybe people who are on the outside, they're trying to, they're looking at what environment art is, right? So they're looking at those beautiful pictures and beautiful videos, and they're like, wow, this is so cool. But then, you know, me and you know that you need to be able to create tools sometimes in Unreal, or create some type. There's complexity in tech too, because you have to have to also work with shaders. You have to be kind of a generalist, that someone that knows a little bit about everything. So that is my question. Not a percentage number type of thing, but like for someone who's just like hearing environment art, looking at images, what would you tell them?
Obviously, my answer will depend of the production, because each kind of environment is different, and the way everything is achieved depends on the production and the technical art team, for example. But yeah, I feel like in 3D environments, the majority is technical art. And I'm not talking especially about shader and everything, but just technical art in the way of knowing your software, knowing the shortcuts, knowing the tools in your software, and being able to organize your software. For example, change the UI in ZBrush, change the UI in Maya to get you more quick. And yeah, for Endpaint project, for example, technical art is not that much involved when you do actual hand painting, you know, not faking hand paint with shader and noise and generator and all the tralala. But yeah, in my previous company, for example, technical art was so important, but we have no technical artist. So that's at the moment, at this moment, that environment artists join the production and are like, hey, do not stress. Me and my shader in Unreal, we will take care of this. And we will watch all the tutorial we need to understand the technology. Because yes, we still watch tutorial even 5 years in the industry or more. You constantly watch.
Yeah, if you don't, you shouldn't be working, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And it's weird that you know everything, because the subject is so big and based and everything. So yeah, technical art especially in video games, is important, because I know in cinematic art, it's okay for artists to not know it because we don't care about optimization. But there are so much way in video games to work and to get the more FPS and the more performances. And you have to keep them in mind, because we are doing art, but art for consumption. It's sad to say this, but we will consume. Consumption,
yeah.
Art.
It's consumer oriented.
Exactly. So you will need in the art to find a way technically to give the best performances ever on the computer.
Yeah.
Because in the best world, your game should be able to run on a fridge, you know, those with the screen, in the best
world. All right. I need to interfere here a little bit. Maybe not on the fridge or elevator or whatever.
Yeah,
you really need to know the limitation of what you're working with. Is this game going to make it to mobile? Is this game going to make it to Switch or whatever? If not, then just work with the hardware that you have. Meaning, if you can... And this is visual effects oriented answer. If the game really needs from you to spawn a lot of effects all at once, then use the tools that can allow you that with a GPU. If your game cannot do that, then fine, work with the limitation. Meaning, you don't have to sacrifice your art
exactly.
If you don't necessarily have to. And I'm saying that because I had Manos on the podcast. And he said in the beginning he worked on VR projects that were mobile.
Oh, yeah.
And that has affected his work in the beginning because he was optimizing too much. You never get that. You never get that feedback, by the way, in the games industry where you're like, you're optimizing a bit too much. It's always the other way around. Like, hey, this is not playable.
Obviously you have to know on what hardware, as you said, you will work, and you have to take it in account, and you have to know the technology, how it's evolving, because now, for example, we are not hunting for any polygon too high, because now the enemy of the actual technology are the textures. Mostly it's the most expensive now for the GPU and CPU and everything. So now I have to do, when I do reviews, I have to say to my team, can you put more polygons, please?
So I have a very important question that I wish I have asked in the beginning when I was just like looking up environment art. And these two, and my question has is related to two things, resources and tools. Yeah. Those two things. Where, now that you know the resources that you have checked and the tools that you worked with, talking to a new person who's like have no idea about environment art, what would you suggest to them, which resources to work with? And if they don't have money, they come from a country where you don't have a credit card, they can't access softwares because even piracy is weird right now because of viruses. What would you tell them, which tools they should be working with?
It's a trap because I am a Maya user, but obviously there are always free version, not of all the software, but some software can be considered as dupe of actual paying software. Like, for example, I'm sorry, I will say it, but Blender. Blender is an amazing, it's an amazing thing to try, and there are always way to, you have at least in most of the software, you have, you know, trying version.
Trial,
so you can at least, trial, thank you. Trial version, it's very short, but it can give you a glimpse of what you want to do. And I know in each country, I think there are some software free, like in France, instead of Photoshop, we have Krita. And Krita is not as powerful, but it's cheap. It's free. It's free, and you can paint. And the more important is the artist, not the tool.
Yeah.
So it's something that we get repeated in art school. But the artist is the most important, because even if there are some constraints, you can know how to overpass them and how to work with them. Because sometimes working with a constraint create a new style, create a new art, and create a new workflow that you will like. And maybe is it a workflow someone else would like? And you don't know. You just have to be flexible and adaptable.
Mm. Okay, so, and what about resources in terms of where do you think the most accurate information out there about the environment are lays.
I think I never paid for a tutorial in my life. So obviously YouTube is very nice. And if you are able to speak different languages, you are golden. Like if you speak French or Italian or English or even Spanish, you can have a whole new world of tutorial that only one language people cannot achieve. And also, I don't think it's still a thing, but forum, you know, Polycant, for example. It is where people at the beginning were sharing resources. And even if the technology is old, it's still interesting. And you can still learn with them because even if it's old gen, it doesn't mean that you won't use it anymore. So this is a way. And what else? I think listening to podcasts can help you also. But yeah, you have so much free resources. And again, I think the best resource I ever had, and I'm not objectifying this, but my friend. My friend, I think I wouldn't be in the industry without them because they were able to teach me so much things and to make me discover so much game and workflow and way to do and artists. I honestly think I would be jobless without my friends and my network and just chatting with people because it's the best way to learn, talk with people. I know it's hard, but talk.
The thing is, like, the reason I ask my guests and I don't say anything is because there might be someone out there who, have the same, the same environment, the same way of thinking. They'll be like, oh, you know, if she did it, I'll be able to do it too.
Yeah.
I personally, like when you said YouTube tutorials, I know myself, I have attachment issues. Like, I cannot be committing to disorganized tutorials all over the internet. I need something that I could buy so I could say to myself, Jack, you bought this. You have to watch it, right?
Yeah.
That's just weird to me, right? But like, it works for me. And it might work for other people too. But you know what? If there's someone watching this, maybe are confused about should I buy, should I not? There's stuff online. They listen to your advice and they're like, okay, yeah, there's stuff online.
Yeah, try.
I can do it too.
Yeah, at least try the free resources. Like you won't lose anything, maybe time, but even with this, we'll learn something else.
I honestly wish someone have told me that early on. Because I thought the knowledge is locked down behind, money or whatever. But it's not. It's really a lot of YouTube videos are very advanced and they just don't, they're disorganized. They're just all over the place. You have to look for them and you might find a bad one. You might find a good one. Then there's this guy who's just showing you because he's an influencer.
Yeah, speed progress.
Oh, it's
speed
just progress, too much. Yeah. Good. So far, we've reached 53 minutes. Ooh. Is there anything? It's a question I ask all my guests before, we close. Is there anything you would like to still talk about or you want to promote? Anything?
Yeah. It just following your previous question about tools and resources.
Go ahead.
My friends call me a rat because I don't like to spend my money. And this goes so far that I don't use a tablet graphic to paint. I'm using a mouse. And just to emphasize the thing that you don't need to spend money to learn things and to learn skill. You need to think for yourself because everyone is calling me crazy for using my mouse. I don't care. I have a job. I get money with my mouse. She's my friend now. I work with her every day. So don't care about what people are telling you to do if it doesn't work for you.
Yep.
Like, give me a pen and I can't do anything. Give me a mouse and I can paint you what I have in my portfolio. So don't spend money because you think the tool will help you to get better.
Yeah.
Just don't spend money on yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And spend not money, but time. And think of you as a human and not just a tool. Like you are not a robot that will need to watch 80 hours of Substance Designer tutorial to understand something. Yeah, just think of yourself and take breaks and be kind with yourself because in this industry, it's so competitive and everything is so hard to get because even a job, you have to spend sometimes 6 months, 6 years more to find just one interview. Be kind with yourself. It's the only gift you can do to yourself, and you will be happy later to not, to treat you like a human being, because that's what you are. And even if you don't find the job that you want, it's okay. Like, it's not creating a value on you. Like, your value is not defined by your job. It's not defined by what tools you are using or what program you are using. So yeah, just be kind with yourself and stop comparing yourself to other people, because that will just make you depressed.
Such and a we good don't advice. Want I wish someone had told me to find my value, like my value as a human being outside of art and outside of games, because I've gotten taken advantage of that way.
Yeah.
Because I thought, you know, I need to say yes, I have to say yes, I must say yes. work 30 more hours, I have to say yes. Because if I don't, I lose my value as a person. I had to learn the hard way. Once the layoff started and everything, I had to learn, okay, all right, I need to find my value outside of this system. Because funny enough, the people who are in charge, like with the money and stuff, I feel like those are the least people that care about games.
Yeah.
They care about money. We're the ones that care about games, that are making them. We're thrown around, basically. We're treated like shit, basically.
Yeah.
And I've seen this pattern around, especially around this time right now, recording this episode, when artists and game developers decide to go and be a bit more selfish and just like say, I'm going to do it myself. No one is going to, I'm not going to wait for anybody to do it. They get really financially successful that way.
Yeah,
like if they just decide to do, fuck this, I'm gonna do a studio, I'm gonna make an outsourcing studio, I will do this myself. Yeah. I can't wait
with
for
my
anybody.
Skills.
Exactly, with my skills, with the people that I believe in. It's stressful in the beginning, but once you own it, people will believe in you, right? And it's amazing how much support you get. Like even with my stream in the beginning when I started. So the support has been immense. Like I never imagined that I would be like that much supported. So I was like, I have got like that small preview of what people, when they go and make their own company, might experience.
Yeah, because guess what, other humans are kind also, and they want you to be successful, because like I don't think anyone is very like evil at the core, and you know, we have solidarity between human and person of the same species, so even seeing someone glow is making us so happy, because it means it is possible. This person is living his dream, and if we can be a part of this person's happiness, like why not? It's free. And it's free. You can make someone happy for free. So it's so nice.
It's cool. All right, listen, it's been great having you on. I'll pivot a little bit to the viewers and say, hey, thanks for watching this. It's been Jack the Generalist and Maya, and we're just gonna tell you to have a great day and or great evening wherever you are, and I will see you in the next one. All right, everybody, take care.
See you. Bye
bye, everybody.